I had two outlines prepared as of Sunday night, and then the Lord gave me the one that I was supposed to do. And then last night about 3 o'clock this or this morning about 3 o'clock this morning, he said, "You're not gonna preach. You don't want you to preach. I want you to preach it a different way." And I'm sitting there, I can't sleep. And I'm going over it in my mind, and so I'm kind of shooting from the hip tonight. I'll tell you, I had the message that I had prepared, but now I'm gonna have to do the one that he told me to do. So it's the same text, but it's. I never looked at it the way that he presented it to me last night. So pray for me that I'll do this, you know, and bring honor to him, because that's all I want to do, you know, is bring honor to him. And, Lord, just reach somebody that needs to hear this message tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke. If I'd quit hiding my notes that I did have for myself, I'd be doing a lot better. Like I say, I could have just thrown those to the side because they're not any good anymore. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. And we're going to read just a little while here. And this is Jesus speaking, of course. You there? Say amen. We there? All right. A man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, "The hired servants of my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, "Father is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, and yet thou gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him the fatted calf." And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Of course, we know these verses as the prodigal son, talking about the prodigal son. But I'm going to speak to you tonight. The title still works that I had, so I'm going to use the title. The title was going to be Saved Once and for Always. Saved Once and for Always. This is the part that I hadn't really thought about and really hadn't seen until I got woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And we'll go back and begin over in the verses again. We're going to kind of just skim through these just a little bit. And a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him them his living. First off, I want you to notice, I want to look at this from an earthly father and the standpoint that coming from his point of view. Now, around my house when I was growing up, I didn't go and tell my dad, give me anything, for one. I asked, but I didn't go up and demand anything. And I didn't go back and look at the Greek and the terms here, because a lot of times in the translation, we'll miss a little bit of what happened. But from this, I look at it and I see that he wanted his father to give to him his inheritance. And I go on and I look, and the last of that verse, and he said, divided unto them his living. He didn't just give, I don't think, to the one son. I think he gave it to both of them. He gave them what their inheritance was at that time. And as an earthly father, a lot of times we have, there are multiple children in the family, and you try to give equal, you know, to your children. You don't want one to feel like they're left out over the other one. So the father was going to give both of them their inheritance. And as an earthly father, he expected, well, they're going to do good with this. They're going to do good. But then it goes on and it says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Now, when it says gathered all together, it means he sold what he had for cash, money, whatever, you know, so he could. Of course, they didn't have cash in the days. I guess they had coins and things of that nature, which was cash. What's that? I'm trying to remember what the just the same. Is it the Aflac commercial that does that? I can't remember. But anyways. It's just to say he got money, in other words, to go and waste, basically, is what the thing, what it says. Altogether, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You know, his father didn't know what he was going to do with it. His earthly father didn't. But you know, then I go back and I look at our Heavenly Father. I look at him and what he does for us when he gives us salvation. He expects the best out of us. He gives us the tools to do what we need to do with the salvation that he's given us. We didn't say give. We asked for it, and he did give us. But, you know, I think about that. The earthly father doesn't know what his children are going to do after he gives. After they're gone, they don't know how the inheritance is going to be spent. But this dad got to see, you know, and I know that had to be kind of painful for him. The earthly father did. And he had given this to his son. But you know, the heavenly father, when I think about that, and when he gives us salvation, he knows what to do with it. He knows how we're going to live. He knows what we're going to do. He's going to give us every opportunity to live a good life, to prosper. But many of us at times, we waste it. You know, I look at my own self, and I look, when I was a young man, You know, I can remember the joy that I had when I got saved. Sister Gladys always often reminds me that I've been knowing this boy since he was 17 years old. And she has. Long time ago, down at Orange Avenue Baptist Church. She's known me that long. And you know, I can still remember that night that I got saved. I can remember the tears of joy that came, and the tears of joy from the church family that were still there. It was after revival meeting one night. And I can still remember that, them not knowing where I was going to go from there, not knowing one day I might be standing in a pulpit somewhere. And they didn't have any expectation of me back then, except that I got saved. But the Father knew at that point in time where I was going to go from there. And I did pretty good for a little while there. I stayed in church, but as many young people do, I wandered. I wandered away from the church. You know, we talk about the schools and how if the children don't have a good upbringing and once they get to college, a lot of times it's not good. If they don't have that foundation, they just go crazy, go wild. And a lot of it is because of the influences that are there around them. And a lot of times it can be the teaching that they're receiving that causes it. But I think about the time that I wasted. I didn't have a lot of money to waste at the time, that's for sure, and still don't have a lot of money to waste. But you know, the God, he's not interested in the money that we have. He's interested in how we spend our time here on earth. He's interested in what we're going to do with that salvation once he's given it to us. Are we going to tell other people about him? Are we going to waste it? I often used to say when I was doing the high school Sunday school class, I'd tell my young people, I would say, you know, look, don't go down the path that I went, because you see, my path didn't lead anybody to church really at that point in time. If anything, it led from church. Why does anybody want to go to church if they don't see any difference in me than what they can see out there on the street? I talked recently to someone about that, our testimony. What does it do? How do we affect other people around us? How do we influence them? Or are we letting them influence us? We're supposed to be that light. We're not supposed to let the world, the darkness, influence us. We're supposed to let that light shine through us to the dark. Let's go on. The Father, the earthly Father had no idea how his son was going, what he was going to do with it. Heavenly Father did. But he still gives him. He still gives. You know, even though God knows that you're going to get out of church, even though he knows you're going to not live the life you should live, he still gives that salvation freely. He still gives it to us. And then it goes on, and when he had spent all, in verse 14, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. You know, I look at this from an earthly standpoint, and you know, it's amazing how many friends you can have as long as you're living their lifestyle, or you're living, spending your money for their habits. But when the money runs out, where are your friends? Where are your so-called friends? They're not to be found usually. They'll leave you the curb. And that's not a good feeling, is it? It's not a good feeling when you get kicked to the curb. You're not of any use to them anymore. But you know, with God, you're always of use. He never kicks you to the curb. He's always there for you. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us, and he never does. We may walk away from him, but he never walks away from us, as we're going to see here in just a few minutes. And it goes on, and it says, he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. The lowest of jobs, especially for a Jewish young man. This was on low. This was against all he had been taught. He wasn't supposed to be around the swine. He wasn't supposed to feed the swine, have nothing to do with them. But here he is feeding the swine. Not only that, and he would fain have to have filled the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Like I said, your friends are your friends until you don't have anything to offer them anymore. And then they'll kick you to the curb. And that's sad. That's sad, but that's the way it is many times in life. But then in verse 17, I like that. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You know, that reminds me of something. It reminds me of someone else, very familiar in the Bible. His name was King David. You know, David was on the right path, but then he got off the path. He did some terrible things in his life. Found out. But then David knelt in prayer. He understood that he was still God's. He was still a son of God. Because it says, if you look at, and I'm not going to those particular texts, but you look at that and you see where he says, after his son had died, he says, he can't come to me anymore. And I'm paraphrasing. But I can go to him. You see, a child is innocent. They die, they're going to heaven. Just that's it, a baby. They're going to heaven, plain and simple. They were baptized when they were a baby, if they were christened, whatever you want to call it, doesn't have anything to do with that. They're innocent, and they're going. Now, at one point in time, they'll reach that point when they understand what sin is. They understand right from wrong. At that point in time, then they need to start searching for the Savior themselves. But until that point, they're okay. But David understood that he was still safe with God. Even though he'd done some terrible things, he'd had a man killed. Done some terrible things that we think of it. But then I look in Psalm 51, or the 51st Psalm, and I look at verse 12. And he says this, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. You see, this young man came to his senses, and he needed restoration. He wasn't lost. He knew where the Father was. You see him rehearsing what he's going to say when he gets to the And he's like David. Father, I've sinned. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And he needed restoration. He needed that peace within himself that we all search for. We all need that inner peace. But then in verse, we'll continue on. In verse 20, and he says, and he arose and came to his father. But when this, I like this part. Man, I really like this part. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know what that tells me about the earthly father? He was looking for him. You know what that tells me about the heavenly father? He's looking for you. If you've strayed, if you've got away from him, he's not going to cast you aside like your friends did. He's looking for you. He's searching for you. You see, he didn't move. You see, the son had to come back to his father's house. But God didn't move. The father didn't move. But he was always there looking, ready to welcome him home. And he did. He fell on his neck and kissed him. Then verse 21, and the son said unto him, just as he had rehearsed, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. But you know, a lot of people use these verses, this verse in particular, to say that, well, that kid was, he had a salvation and then he lost it. I'm here to tell you, he didn't lose it. He lost fellowship with the Father. That's where he was at. He had lost that fellowship. How do I know that he hadn't lost it? Well, if you turn over to Hebrews, you don't have to turn there. I'll turn there. But Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to try to turn over there, put it that way. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning verse 6. The Bible says this, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. An illegitimate child. Not called a son, but an illegitimate child. The father doesn't claim him. But you look back and you go back and you look at verse 14 of Luke 15. And when he had spent all, it said, of the young man, there arose a mighty famine in the land, in that land, and he began to be in want. You know what that is? Chastisement. The son had wasted all he had. The Lord wanted him back. His dad wanted him back. But the earthly father can't bring that on him. But the heavenly father can. You see, I'm going to tell you this much. I've had him before. I've had him snatch me up by the shirt collar and say, enough's enough. And can I tell you this? It wasn't fun. It wasn't fun. But he loved me enough that he snatched me up by that shirt collar. You know, my daddy used to put a belt on my rear end when I needed it. I tried not to need it too much because he could use it pretty good. But just like our earthly fathers will give us a whipping every now and again, our Heavenly Father will do the same. But let me tell you this. Don't be worried when you receive chastisement. Be worried when you don't get that chastisement. You see, if you say you're saved, but you never endure any hardships. We as Christians endure hardships. Don't get me wrong. We have hardships. That's just part of, as Sister Tammy says, that's part of free will. We can't control what everybody else does. But God can use that chastisement to help us. He can use it to bring us back. And he did me. I'll tell you, he got my attention. I didn't want any more. It was harsh. I'll tell you. Pardon? Yep, we hear that a lot. I know of a family that's having to use some tough love on a situation now. It's tough for the thing about that is, you talk about tough love, that tough love goes both ways. You know, it's just as hard as on the father as it is on the son. God doesn't want to have to snatch us up by our shirt collar and say, hey, come to your senses. He doesn't want to have to do that, but he will. Our daddies, mamas, whatever, didn't want to put that switch, that belt, whatever it was on our end, but they did. And it hurt them just as much as it hurt us. So don't ever think that because if your life's going smooth, I'd worry if you're not in the will of God. If you're in the will of God, now, like I said, the Christian walk sometimes can become hard. But I can tell you this, you'll know when it's God giving it to you, and you'll know when it's the world giving it to you. You can see the difference in it. I saw the difference, I can promise you. I knew where it was coming from, what had to happen because of my disobedience, because of my walking away from God. But then I want to go on and close out these last few verses. Well, I'm actually going to, now we're going to go on and look at verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy father is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and was found. You know, we've talked about two individuals or two different points of view here. We've talked about the Father, earthly Father, and we've talked about the Heavenly Father. But you know, I think we switch gears here a little bit. I think we switch gears here to the church. How many of us have seen somebody walk in that maybe their life wasn't exactly what it should have been, could have been. And we look at them and say, you know what? But then maybe the preacher says, welcome home. we're glad you're here. And maybe other church members join in and say that, but we stand off to the side and say, nope, I ain't gonna have nothing to do with them. When we see that person that has been lost to the fellowship, not lost their salvation, they didn't lose their salvation. They got off track. You know, I remember Sister Glad back a few years back before I started coming here. I think Tammy and I came one time and visited. We came and visited because of Sister Gladys. And I look at her, and I see her, and I say, she said, welcome back. She knew my life hadn't been the great. She knew I hadn't lived the life I could have lived. She knew that I'd walked away from the Christian walk. But she said, you need to come on back. And I can tell you this right now. She's part of the reason that I'm here today. It's because of that phone call. And not only did she call after the first time we came, she kept calling. We sure was glad to see you. So I'm here in part because of Sister Gladys. Of course, we both felt the Lord calling us. Tammy got saved after we started coming here. I got my life right with the Lord again after we started coming here. You know, I'm sure Brother Derek knew where I was at, but the first thing we started doing different stuff, and he knew I'd been a youth minister before, and first thing he said, man, we sure could use a youth pastor. And he put me to work. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to open his arms and say, come on back, son. But he did. And I hope we as a church are just as welcoming to that person that maybe hadn't lived that life that they should have lived. Because I'm going to tell you, at a point in time, I was that person. Thank you all for your attention. I thank you for your endure. And I hope I got through this message the way the Lord wanted me to get through this message. And I hope if you're watching tonight, if you're not where you need to be, get back. There's a church. It may not be this church. I'm not telling you to come here, but I'm telling you to get somewhere in church. Get in a good New Testament church, because it makes all the difference in the world. You need to surround yourself with a company, a good crowd, because it makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference in the world. If you're not suffering chastisement and you're just thought you were saved and you're walking on easy street, I'd ask you this, check up. See where stand with God, because if he's not tugging at your heart, there's something wrong. Father, I thank you for the time we've had here tonight. Lord, I pray that the message, Lord, will touch our hearts. Lord, I know that I've not been all I should have been throughout my life, and Lord, I'm sure there are others that are here tonight, maybe watching online, Lord, have not lived that life that they should have lived too. But Lord, it's time to come back. I look at the times we live in, and I know time's getting short, especially for those that are lost. And I pray that the Spirit will touch that heart, that they'll come and they'll know you as Savior before it's eternally too late. Forgive us where we fail you. Be with all those that we've talked about tonight on the prayer list tonight, Lord, just Lord, deal with each one according to your will and way. Forgive us where we fail you. Bring us back at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen.